Good morning, everyone. It's hard to believe that spring is just around the corner. And for bass fishermen like me, we are very excited. This is great news because with the weather, temperatures warming up, the bass become more active and are getting ready to spawn. That means they will come out of the deep waters and move to the more shallow waters closer to the banks to feed. And as a fisherman, to catch fish, we need to give them bait. And the fish then have to comply, and they have to take the bait. In the spring, any of you know what the bass love to eat? Anyone have a guess? They like crawdads that are found in the rocks near the shore. And, you know, bass apparently are not much different than people because crawdads, if you didn't know, are like little lobsters. So people like to eat lobsters, bass like to eat crawdads. And that's why I give the bass a lure that'll look like these, which have the colors orange and red because those are the colors that are similar to a crawdad. And I'm hoping to fool the bass to take my bait. Give bass bait. Bass take bait. Give and take. Those are two words I want you to remember, if anything, this morning. Give and take. We are currently in a series called The Lord's Prayer, and we are learning how we can have a more vibrant prayer life. And what better way to learn about prayer than to look at the prayers of Jesus? Earlier in the series, Pastor Eric gave the example of Jesus praying for his disciples to have unity. Because when we are in unity, our prayers are heard better by God. Last week, Pastor Ben shared about Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane when he agonized over what he was about to experience on the cross. And that's where Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Today, we are going to look at the classic Lord's Prayer, which is found in Matthew 6. Now, in this prayer, I can see two movements, and it's those two words I told you to remember, give and take. Give and take will also be the structure for my message and for your immediate responses. Last week, Pastor Ben mentioned today's service will be a little bit different than usual. We're going to be more interactive, where you will be invited to respond to my teaching in our passage. This is something that the pastors want to try occasionally to change things up. Because often our message time can become just one of us being kind of a talking head, and you all turn into spectators. Where worship is supposed to be done together in front of an audience of one, and that one being God. So before we continue, let me pray for us to prepare for this time. Heavenly Father, we invite your presence to be with us this day and every day. You are a great God, faithful to your people throughout the generations. Will you open our eyes, our ears, our minds, and especially our hearts to what you will have for us this day? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, and if you can turn with me to Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. And if you don't, I'm sure it's going to be shown behind me on the screen. Verse 9. This then is how you should pray. This is what Jesus is saying. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. And that is the word of the Lord. Now the Lord's Prayer is probably something that a lot of you are familiar with. Many of you have probably memorized it, so it's not something that's new. But hopefully, what I'm going to share this morning is a different take on the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer can be found in two of the Gospels. A shorter version is found in the book of Luke, and in this longer version is found in Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6 is what many consider as part of Jesus' first and greatest message, and that is the Sermon on the Mount. And here, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, we find the Lord's Prayer, which technically Jesus did not actually pray himself, but used it as a template, a teaching tool for how he wanted his followers to pray. Verse 9 says exactly that. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray." The Lord's Prayer can be divided into two parts, which I call two movements, give and take. Verses 9 to 10 is the first part to give, and verses 11 to 13 is the second part to take. The term give and take, which some of you may know, is often applied in negotiations between two parties, that some sort of compromise or concession has to be made by one or the other side so that a deal can be struck. Give and take in negotiations. But that is not how I am planning to apply it, give and take with God, because there is no compromise with a holy God. I'm using give and take in the Lord's Prayer to describe how we are to respond with God and to interact with Him. If you desire to have a more vibrant prayer life, these two movements must be reflected in our attitudes and actions. The first movement in the Lord's Prayer is that we give God His sovereignty. And we see this in verse 9. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallowed, a word probably we don't very use in our common language, it means holy, highly revered, sacred, worthy to be praised. And verse 9 teaches us to recognize the authority of God above us. We choose to call our God our Heavenly Father, and we ask that His name be made sacred, hallowed. That God is the Lord over all creation, the master of the universe. That He is sovereign and rules over all things. And this movement to give continues in verse 10. Verse 10 tells us to give God our submission. Verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's similar to what Jesus was praying at the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 10 teaches us to trust God's will, which is better than our own will, that He knows best, and we willingly give up control and submit to God's plans and ways. Verse 10 also implies this, that here on earth, not everyone is obedient to God's will. There are people who are doing their own thing. Because in heaven, everybody is obedient to God. But here on earth, it's not quite so. However, as God's people, as His followers, as Christians, we are to be different than the world and to give our submission to God's will. Earlier, I mentioned that this version of the Lord's Prayer is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And for those of you who are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus began His message in chapter 5 with what are known as the Beatitudes, or another way to say it is blessings. And Jesus makes clear what kind of followers He wants at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was calling for people who are poor in spirit, who mourn, who are meek, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. And that's in contrast to the prideful religious elite of that time. Jesus simply wants people who have humility to be free from pride. And for God, it's more about the internals than the externals. The heart and attitude of the people of God matter most to God. I tell you, God can see into your hearts. And if the Lord's Prayer teaches us to give God His sovereignty and our submission, to do this with genuine integrity, with authenticity, it requires us to have humility, to surrender our pride to God, to be able to recognize His sovereignty, and again, to give Him His our submission. And that was what Jesus was warning about in the verses right before the Lord's Prayer. Whenever we study Scripture, it is always good to look at the verses preceding the passage and following the passage. So the Lord's Prayer is preceded by verses 5 and 7, where Jesus is rebuking the proud religious elite Pharisees for showing off how they prayed, using fancy words and praying long, babbling exhibitions. Their prayers were really not for God to hear, but to impress people looking at them while they prayed. So a question I have for you to consider: are you ready to give God His sovereignty and our submission? Today, as I mentioned, it's going to be a little more interactive. So interspersed in my teaching, there's going to be opportunities for you to respond. And the worship team will come up now and lead us in this first interactive response. And our response is not going to be just in word, so I'm going to invite you, if you are prepared, comfortable, willing. We're going to go through a prayer of submission, which I believe Linda is going to lead us. But I'm going to invite you, if you want to stand and do this, you may. And if you stand, and if you're willing, raise your hands up as you do this prayer, because it is... the hands raised is a universal sign of surrender. Or you may choose to use the kneeling pads before you, that you will bow in submission to God. So you have those choices. If you like to participate, I encourage you to do so. Because remember, it's not for us to see, but it is for your Heavenly Father to see you as you worship Him.
Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we bow before You in worship. We want to submit and surrender ourselves completely and unreservedly in every area of our lives to You. Your perfect will for us is always our best. Lord Jesus, we worship You. We want to love and cherish You. We want to treasure You above all else. We recognize that You alone are worthy to receive all glory, all honor, and all praise. We are thankful for Your sacrifice on the cross, and that has atoned for our sins and allow us to receive eternal life in Your name. And Holy Spirit, come fill us with joy, peace, and comfort. We welcome Your guidance, counsel, and help each and every day. We humbly pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In the Lord's Prayer is to give. And the second movement I see is to take. And what are we to take? Well, from verse 11 in the Lord's Prayer, we are to take God's sustenance. Verse 11 says, "Give us today our daily bread." And I believe this to be both physical and spiritual. When we are instructed to pray this, we are acknowledging our dependency on God to provide, to feed us, to nourish us. And to become more like Jesus, to be Christ-like, we need to grow spiritually. And like little children who need to eat food to grow bigger, we need to eat spiritual food to mature spiritually. And Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So to grow spiritually, to have a vibrant prayer life, we need to get our regular feeding, our nourishment from God's word, which is in the Bible. Kind of a no-brainer, something that probably all of you knew. There is no getting around this. You have to be familiar with the word of God. So question, are you reading the Bible? And I'm not trying to guilt you or or tell you what to do. I'm just saying you have to read the Bible in some form. And I'm not saying you have to do an intensive Bible study. It's not about reading commentaries or Bible dictionaries and gaining a lot of knowledge. It's purely just reading it, because the pages of a Bible are not just ink. It's the Word of God. It is the voice of God in the most practical way of speaking to you. So you have to read it and allow the words to sink in and to marinate in it. And whatever impressions, whatever feelings, whatever thoughts, images come to mind, that is a response to the Word of God. But here's the thing. Do you really want to do it? And there's a saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink. No one can force you to do this, to read the Bible. It's up to you. It's your choice. And like dinner with your children, as parents remember, you can't force them to eat, especially broccoli and peas or stuff. But when they're hungry, you're going to eat. And you have to be hungry to read the Bible. So the worship team is going to come up now again and lead us in a song that will express that we are hungry. And similar to the first movement, to give, to take from God requires us to have our hands open. So if you want to sing this song, have your hands open with your palms up to receive from God, to take from Him your sustenance.
Water rain down on me. last time.
We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty. Oh, Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you.
So a little bit more about receiving or taking our sustenance from God. I'm going to ask a question here. How many of you are sweet versus salt, salty foods? Okay, we have some sweet people. How many of you are salty? Are you like potato chips and things like that? Okay. So when we're fed by God, when God gives us sustenance, the Word of God is like food. And there's a reason why. It's not just for our own spiritual growth, but one of the things that God calls us to be is to be salt. So the more of the Word of God that you allow to come into you, you become saltier. And the reason that's important is because salt makes people thirsty. And when we have a lot of salt in us from the Word of God, when we're among people who are thirsty for something different, then they have an opportunity to want to drink water. And that is living water that we offer. So that's another reason we need to feed from God, to allow him to fill us with more of himself, which makes us salty, so that others may become thirsty to drink the living water. To review what we have covered so far, following our structure of give and take, we give God his sovereignty, we give God our submission, and continuing in the Lord's Prayer with the second movement, which is to take, we take two things. We just covered, we take God's sustenance, and the second thing we take, which we find in the Lord's Prayer, is to take God's sanctification. Sanctification is a lifelong journey here on earth to be made holy so that God can use us. God needs to purify us. He needs to prune us. He needs to transform us more into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying sanctification will make us perfect, because we will always sin and we will always be flawed in some way. But if we are humble enough to depend on God to feed us and to purify us, our relationship with him will be stronger and more intimate. Verse 12 and 13 in the Lord's Prayer seems to teach us to pray for God to sanctify us, to purify us, that God is with us on our road of life. He is forgiving us, leading us, and delivering us. Verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." It seems to imply that life is a journey, that we're traveling on a road where there will be trials and tribulations, there will be joy and happiness, be ups and downs, but God says he will be with us in that journey. And according to verse 12, primarily, apparently forgiveness is critical to the sanctification process. And I believe this is so important. Remember before, earlier I mentioned, when we look at a particular passage, which is the Lord's Prayer, we look at what's before it and what's after it. The verses right after the Lord's Prayer here in Matthew 6, Jesus continues in verses 14 to 15, and he says this to emphasize that our need to forgive others who have wronged us for us to be forgiven by God. Interesting. So of all the things in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus kind of adds a little more emphasis right after it about forgiveness. It's not asking other people for forgiveness. It's for us to forgive others. To be in a relationship with God, to have Jesus in us, we need to be forgiven of our sins. That's a must-do. To have a restored relationship with God, we must be forgiven of our sins. And that's what Jesus did on the cross for us. But we have to ask for it. And that's not that complicated. A lot of us make things too complex. Just simply ask God for forgiveness. Like verse 12 teaches, we must do this over and over again. Because we sin over and over again. It's not a one-time thing. That's why Jesus is teaching in the Lord's Prayer, keep on asking for God's forgiveness, to forgive you of your debts. But if we are truly forgiven by God, we should be able to mirror that same Christ-like attribute of forgiveness by forgiving others that have sinned against us. And I know that can be really hard. If someone has hurt you, betrayed you, exploited you, abused you, or even forgotten you, it's not an easy thing to do. But here, Jesus says we must forgive if we want to have a more vibrant prayer life with God. Bottom line, Jesus wants followers who have humility. I mentioned that earlier. This is in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, coming off of the Beatitudes, expresses the kind of people who will be in the kingdom of God. And those blessings characterize a person who is humble, who has humility. And to ask for forgiveness takes humility. So, question for you to think about. Have you done a self-reflection lately? Do you need to be forgiven? In line with our goal this Sunday to be more interactive, we will now have an opportunity to respond by praying for one another. And I know this is probably going to make a lot of you uncomfortable, but I'm going to make it easy for you. I want you to pair up with someone next to you, and each person will pray for the other. This prayer that I have on this slide. So you don't have to make up the words. You don't have to think off the cuff. Just pray this prayer. And you just have to at least learn the name of the person next to you if you don't know it. That may be the most challenging part. And this prayer is based on Psalm 139, verses 1 to 3 and verse 23 to 24. You can do this with the Bible if you have it, with an app. And just remember to replace the pronouns with the other person's name. So you can do this with each other. Take the time right now just to find somebody near you that you can pray for and receive the prayer from them. So for example, in the first blank, you have searched Calvin, Lord, and you know Calvin. So you can do that with your partner. Do this right now, and I hope you'll be blessed by this exercise of prayer.